Welcome back to another episode of Poderosa's podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little bit heavier. We'll be talking about sexual assault and sexual harassment. And we'll be giving you guys some resources that we have joined here in the community. But before we start that, we do want to give a disclaimer that if this episode does get too heavy for you guys, you can always walk away from it or stop listening to it altogether. You should not be forced to be listening to this episode if you don't want to. Okay, so since this is a very heavy episode, to alleviate some of that heaviness, I'm gonna ask Ashley and Desiree, who are here with me today.
Hello.
Hello.
What's one of the worst things you ever did in high school? Ashley, would you?
I was like, I don't know. I told Jocelyn and Ashley that everything I've done in high school, I don't regret because I live by my choices. Maybe I shouldn't have been a little non-reactive, but everybody deserved it. And I think, I've always been the type of person to be conscious of my decisions. So every decision I make, I stand by it.
Okay. And what about you, Ashley?
mine's not as honorable.
I think the one thing that I don't regret it. I don't actually, now that I'm thinking about it retrospectively, I don't regret it. But I guess it's considered, I guess, cheating. But I guess like the guy that I was seeing from sophomore year, kind of going into my junior year, like he was this really nice guy, surprisingly. And he was just like a super nice gentleman, but I was just not ready to be in a relationship. And I was just being really clowny. So I was just like, I was talking to some guy on the side that was currently going to Montebello at the time and made the wrong choice. Like, I just made the wrong choice. And, like, probably, like, 2 days after, like, because I met up with this guy and we had mutual friends. And so we, like, it wasn't anything graphic. We just kissed and I felt really guilty about it. So then the next day I came back to school and I was like, yeah, we're going to have to end this because I'm not ready to have a relationship right now.
Hey, at least you were honest. Yeah. The next day, you're like, you know what?
I'm not ready.
This ain't going to work out.
Yeah, and it was, like, after a month of, like, steady dating this guy at Sure, and, like, he understood. He was, like, really nice about it, but I just never told him why. I was kind of like, yeah, this is not working out. Like, you're nice, and...
Yeah.
But I don't regret it, because then I was like, okay, I knew in my heart I wasn't ready for it, but...
That's funny.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Well, at least you were able to make that decision.
That's true. Part of me could have just been like, fuck it, and then could have just kept fucking around.
Like high school, so it was just like whatever, you know.
That's true.
But at the time, it always feels like so monumental in our life.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's partly the Catholic guilt, I think, that makes me feel like,
because I'm probably like,
it's half of the time why I feel so bad all the time, because the Catholic guilt never leaves me. But it's chill.
But yeah.
We are trying to get away from that. It's okay. Yeah. It happens. Support group for
support groups that do crazy choices. Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh my god.
No.
What about you, Jocelyn?
I was actually thinking about this the other day, which is why I wanted to ask you guys this question. Yeah. And actually, you're actually part of my story. Okay. So, do you remember Kevin Mai?
Yeah!
From high school? Okay.
He's so cute.
Redacted.
Redacted. Okay, sorry. You know, if Kevin ever listens to this episode, I'm sorry. Okay, so he was a year older than me, so he was a sophomore, and you know, I had barely entered freshman year, but that's how I met Ashley, because we were all in band, and I had a friend of Ed, and we both had 3 classes together, so it was like band, French, and then math.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin happened to have a class right next to our building. So he had the bungalows and then we had the building. And he was, like, really good friends with my friend Yvette. And she, like, really liked for us to, like, hang out together. So that's kind of how I started, like, knowing Kevin and everything. And I think for me, like, what was weird in high school is that anytime I met, like, a really nice guy, I was just like, oh, I must really like this person. Like, in more terms than, like, a friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, se me hizo la idea to ask him out to Sadie's.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and then what was funny about Kevin is that his sister was my section leader. She was senior. Mm-hmm. So, they're both in band, and I didn't want his sister to know that I possibly, like, maybe liked him or that I wanted to ask him out to a dance. especially because I was a freshman. My mom doesn't know that I went to this dance. Nobody knows. And so I asked Yvette to help me paint, like, the poster for him, because I was going to ask him after sixth period, and I was going to ask him in front of the auditorium, like, where the stairs are at, and you know how everybody called him Panda?
Yeah.
So she drew a panda on the freaking little poster thing. I thought I had planned this so perfectly, because I was like, oh, like, his sister's not here anymore, you know, like, she leaves early after school.
Yeah.
We didn't have any practice, and except for us, because we had jazz practice right after school. Mm-hmm. But that gave me, like, a perfect, like, 15-minute window to, like, ask him to the dance. I'm standing in front of the auditorium, and his sister comes around. So, in the moment that I, like, opened up the poster, his sister and, like, Leoni and I forgot who else, like, she used to hang out with, they were all walking. So, they all saw me they all saw me ask him out to the dance, and they were just standing. I was so mortified. But he said yes.
Yeah.
But I was fucked up, because then I realized that I didn't like boys.
Oh,
but it was so awkward for me, because he was still, like, he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's a little, like, cuddly bear.
Yeah.
And, again, like, my parents didn't know where I was at this day.
Yeah.
And I remember that theme for that year was dress up like a nerd or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I remember those trends.
And then for Sadie's, like, you have to match with whoever you bring to the dance.
Yeah.
And I remember going to Ashley and asking you if you had, like, suspenders or something, because I literally had nothing.
Oh, my God.
And you lent me a pair of suspenders.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm glad you remember that.
Yeah. You were like, what?
I literally was like, what the fuck? I was
like... Yeah, okay. So, it's, like, the day of the dance or whatever, and, like, Ashley lends me suspenders. Kevin and I go down to Mickey Chan's to eat, and then we come back up, and he was like, oh, I'm gonna go home real quick and change. Yeah. And so I stayed, you know, there, and I was, like, talking to Yvette because she was there with me, and I was like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I was like, what am I gonna tell, like, my, like, I told my dad that I had, like, something to do for an English class, and I was like, I don't know how long I'm gonna be here. I was like, but, you know, I'll let you know.
Mm-hmm.
The dance started at 7. It's a school dance.
Yeah.
And do you remember that they had it at the gym?
Yep, like, all the way in the...
Yeah, okay, so Kevin and I and Ashley, like, you and Josh were some of the first people to get up there.
Mm-hmm.
And in less 5 minutes in that dance, Kevin was dancing.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, he and I are both so awkward, or we were both really awkward at that time.
Yeah.
That he was just like, oh, let's dance, and I really didn't want to.
Oh.
Because it was just so, like, there was hardly anybody there yet, because it was barely starting.
Yeah.
And I told him, I was like, I'm gonna go to the restroom real quick.
Yeah.
I went to the restroom, I called my dad.
And you left?
I told my dad.
Oh, shit. You were like, Dad, I'm gonna dance?
I told my dad, I was like, my event finished. I was like, I need you to pick me up.
Oh.
He was like, I'll be there in 5 minutes.
Oh, shit.
And you just dip?
I dipped.
Oh. You didn't tell homeboy?
Oh, my God. We're given. Ah, what happened after that?
I think I left him dancing with you and Josh.
Oh, my God.
I think that's literally what happened. I went down the parking lot hill.
That was pretty rude. I'm still having a hard time recollecting the memories. I was like, what you mean I stayed with Kevin all night? I don't remember. Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Fuck. Now I'm wondering, like, what the fuck did I tell Kevin? And I'm like, your date? I don't know where she at, my guy. Oh, my God.
And then,
I'm assuming that was on a Friday. So then the following Monday, what happened?
He asked me what happened, and I was like, oh, I got sick. I was like, I threw up in the restroom.
Oh, shit.
Damn.
And he believed me.
Wow. And you feel, like, bad ever since.
Oh, yeah. Because then I just couldn't look at him.
Aww. Have you ever thought of, like, I mean, not that you owe him an apology, but, like, you ever felt like, you know, you could have just told him?
Yeah. But it was, like, he went through, like, this really weird phase of not knowing what girl he liked, because he had a crush on, like, Carvin
and
somebody else, and as of right now, to be like, oh, like, I don't know, like, make up pros and cons to this. I don't know, like, yeah, try and figure it out. And he just graduated and we stopped talking.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm just like, eh. I mean, the past. Well, you know. Past.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, I had this epiphany the other day when I was writing my essay and I was just like, fuck.
Like, damn. I'm literally trying to think of that night. Like, holy shit, I need to find something.
Yeah, because then.
Because I cannot remember. I cannot remember. I cannot remember for the life of me. Like,
that's fucking
funny. Shit. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Because then the following year, I basically. I asked a guy, my only boyfriend I ever had, he and I are still friends.
Yeah.
I, like, you know, asked him out or whatever, and then after, like, a month or so of dating or whatever, I broke up with him.
Mm.
But I didn't have the face to break up with him, yeah, so I wrote him a note.
I know, yeah.
Who wrote the note?
Dear John, I know. This ain't gonna work.
And I made... Oh, my God. I made someone who was in a clarinet section with me give him the letter,
mm,
and... He and I didn't talk for, like, a year after that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's just, like, playing the clarinet. He's like, you right next to me in the same room. I see you giving him the note.
He's like, bitch.
He's like, no, okay.
That's, oh, yeah, my God. Those were the good old days.
So I realized that was, like, really harsh to boys in high school.
Yeah.
You were savage.
I love, crazy. I love that level of savagery, because it was like, I mean, technology was still there, but, like, notes were still pretty popular, that it was kind of, like, yeah, fucking hilarious to give someone your
but
note.
It's just, like, in the same, yeah, room. That's why I was just like,
well, technically not, because
it's, like, reading the
fucking, and you're just, like, in the back watching them and hoping the interaction goes well. It's, like, fucking great.
I was, he's like, room. I see you back, yeah, in the note to break up with me.
I was like, come over. Come over here and tell me.
Lord. Actually, that's this fun. Person was a year younger than me.
Oh, shit.
So he had third period with Castro.
I'm screaming.
That's where he found out, and that was comfortably in bio class.
Oh, okay.
You were like, hey, little freshman, come over here and do my dirty work.
Oh, man.
Love it. Love that for you. Oh, shit.
But cute. He and I are still friends.
And, oh,
surprisingly.
That's good.
Yeah.
He rolls up.
You giving that out?
That's true. That's very true. Oh my God.
Yeah.
That was fucking funny.
That was. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, oh, that's my shit. High schoolness.
Yeah. In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did you guys ever have, like, crazy rumors about you in high school?
I mean, I don't know. I just didn't. It was too much drama to even try to even entertain that.
Yeah, I think. I don't. Oh, you know what? There was two things that. It's ironically, they have one happened in the beginning of my freshman year, and then mm-hmm. the other one was, like, mid into my senior year. But the first one was ew, I'm coughing like an old lady, sorry. I'm, like, really sick. So, like, when I came from LMI,
yeah,
like, I was still hanging around with the same people, like, Josh was in, like, yeah, my clique, and then, like,
that's
Jocelyn,
so,
yeah,
and, like, all these other people, and, like, just for redaction, I'm not gonna say this person's name, but people will, I'm pretty sure people will know, but we had this tomboyish, at the time she didn't come out, but it was very well known that she was, like, a lesbian, like, mm-hmm. no one said anything, right, but she came with us to Sher, and we were still pretty good friends, like, hanging out freshman year, yeah, and, like, that was right around the time I had broken up with Josh for, like, I think the second time, it was really random, but it was, like, one of those childhood shit, but whatever. And, like, we were still, like, seeing those friends. And, like, I guess at the time, like, even in LMI, like, I was still hanging out with this girl. And she was, like, I think at the time for me, she was, like, whatever. Because it was, like, okay, like, we like the same things and we're just hanging out. But, like, people were saying, like, oh, like, I was a lesbian because I was hanging out with her too much.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those things. And I was, like, ooh, no. And then it was so funny because, like, years later, when I brought this up to Josh's attention, and he was like, oh yeah, for a moment I thought you were gay too. I don't know what the fuck. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, there's nothing wrong with it, but I was like, you couldn't ask me that. I was like, are you? Like, what the fuck?
You know? Like, didn't we get back together again?
Oh, yeah, I was like, didn't we get back together? I was like, oh, okay, that works out fine. But it was, that was one. But that really didn't bug me. I was kind of like, whatever, like, I'll let people think what they want at this
but
point.
It was just the fact that it's like, people are making it an issue to be like, all rude about it.
Yeah, like they were being really like super rude about it, and yeah. I was like, one, if that's her choice,
homophobic too, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I was like, if that's her choice, then I'm not like, I'm friends with her because she's my friend, not because like of anything. Like I don't, and she's not like my pet. You know what I mean? Like I'm not gonna be like that one weird straight girl that's like, oh, let me string around my gay friend and like pretend that I like her, but I'm just gonna be like, you know, that's kind of
weird.
Yeah,
that's
my yeah. But yeah, that and then somehow that friendship kind of fizzled out after freshman year, just because of all that came, because all of that shit came from LMI, and it kind of carried into sure, but then it stopped probably like mid-year of freshman year, and I was like, whatever, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And then we just found our own cliques, and then this around senior year, just for redaction of names, at the time when I was kind of still kind of starting to talk to Josh again, because there was like a year from junior year going into senior year, like we just didn't talk.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time in a long time we just didn't talk to each other, and he was like my best friend still, so I was kind of like, I was in a weird position of where my feelings were at the time, because I was still talking to some other dude, and he was also in band, and then like everybody was like speculating, because it was like you know
yeah.
The band room shit, whatever happens in the band room, that shit happens fast.
Oh, and, like, yeah, it goes from like one side to the other.
Yeah, like every section will be like knowing your business, and I was like, I literally have not told a soul, but okay, like let's whatever, right? And then it was funny because out of all the people, I'm just gonna say Rio, you remember Rio? So yeah, he was this really like popular, like one of those like really popular Asian dudes that share, and he was like really chill, like he was the nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
But he would be very, very blunt with you and like say shit to you, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay. And so there was a day that I was walking around the band room, and then I passed by the food section because I was going to talk to Monica at the time because she was still my friend, and I was like, oh, like, let me go talk to Monica. And then Rio was like, hey, so who are you going to pick? And I was like, pick what? My shirt? My food? What? And he was like, you know what I'm talking about? I was like, yes, but no. But he like knew that he was implying like the two guys that I was like talking to. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is a little weird. And so people for like a lot, like for a couple months were kind of like, ooh, like what's going on over there? And I was just like, no, I was like, dude, like, I don't even know. Like,
oh my God.
Like, and mind you, like, I literally like did not like at all like say anything. But I think just because people were always watching, like there was just everybody.
You don't miss a thing in a band room.
No, you don't. Like you literally see everything. Like, to the littlest like gestures that other people see, like everything, like it's crazy.
It's like, so, it's like if Gossip Girl existed in the band room.
Yeah, worse. It literally was.
That's fucking funny.
And like someone in the background just going,
XOXO. Like,
literally. And so like, and I think the reason why was because I was always like, I guess like my demeanor changed in a way, because I was always like in the soundcrew room.
Yeah.
And I was always doing shit over there with like, because Joe and like everybody was hanging out there at the time, so then I would be there, and then the guy was also there, and we would just see each other a lot, and then I would just kind of like, and I don't know, it was weird, but it was a weird couple of months, and then it kind of fizzled out, which is, it didn't last long either, which was fine, but it was kind of just a lesson for me to be like, okay, like watch what you do, because everybody's watching you, and I'm like, wow, like, you know, like you never think that you have to be like, like, it's your life. Like, you shouldn't give a fuck about what you do. But it's just funny because when you're young like that, everybody just watches you. Like,
oh, yeah. Even, I mean, our band director was, like, the biggest Gossip Girl of them all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fucking
like,
big time.
When I graduated, we went up to ask him, like, is there couples that come into this band room that you know are going to, like, last forever, or people that you know are going to fuck up somewhere in their relationship? He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I definitely, like, match some people up. Like, I see them, like, in a room, and I'm like, there.
That's funny.
Cash is crazy like that.
Yeah, he is.
Fucking matchmaker and shit.
Yeah, he's like Dr. Cullen, but you know.
That's funny.
He really be though.
Oh yeah.
God. That's hilarious. What about you? Did anything?
It wasn't a question. Rumors,
yeah.
There was a rumor that I had a threesome. And what? That's because, it was, like, dumb people, like, dumb trumpet players, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They're dumb.
There.
I would hang out with Jeff's little brother. And Jeff's little brother's girlfriend was in clarinet section, so we would hang out a lot because we were like really good friends. But you know how there's like a little student garden by like the back of Shire, so we would always like hang out there, like play cards or something. And because he would always come and go, like the three of us, people would just like make up the craziest shit.
Oh my god.
And I was
sure
just,
was kind of, I don't know.
Wild.
It's okay. You didn't miss much.
I know.
I remember. What happened with... Okay, go ahead.
Sorry. No, yeah. No, like, we put, like, an end to the rumor because we're like,
Yeah. Like, come on. Like, what credible source? Like,
yeah. What the fuck? Who's your source?
You know, Sure was crazy, man. Because some girl from Sure wanted to fight me over her boyfriend that didn't even want her. And I was like, dude, get the fuck out. Like, she was like, we're going to meet up at 3 p.m. Or I'm like, 3 p.m. after school behind Montebello High School. And I'm like, okay, you can be there, but I don't get out of practice until 5. unless you want to meet me after practice, we can go ahead. You know, like...
Oh my god.
I was not scared of anybody That's in high school. That's people funny. Couldn't tell me shit. The only thing that they could say about me is like, resting bitch face. What is it? Resting bitch face. Yeah, that it was just like, don't fuck with her. Like, she's a bitch. I was like, fuck you guys. I was like, you guys don't know my business. And I even dated people outside of high school. Because I didn't want to be in contact with any of them.
No, you're smart. That was a smart move.
Because people did talk a lot, but it was more like...
It's interesting when that happens. Yeah. When we think we basically run everything in high school.
Yeah. I was going to say, back to the other story. Did you end up meeting her up at 5?
No, she was just talking shit on Facebook. Facebook or MySpace. I don't know which one it was. I don't know if, the listeners are, old enough for MySpace.
Are you even old enough?
MySpace was an old social platform before Facebook.
That's Instagram, how we learned how to code.
Legit, dead ass.
For real.
But, yeah, she was just talking shit and,
fuck my life.
But rumors were spread about her and all the, nasty shit. So I was just whatever.
Yeah, rumors are crazy.
You just talking shit. Whatever.
People like to have a, wild imagination. It must be nice every time.
Yeah, literally.
I really wish.
Yeah. I was too busy playing softball,
You'd hear it, and, you're just so caught up in shit, they're like, okay, whatever.
I had a boyfriend at the time, so it was just I don't really give a shit what people think about me. I had a man, I had a softball, I was going to fucking Knott's Berry Farm, to the beach every weekend, I don't really give a fuck what you guys think.
It's what are you doing on the weekend, bitch? I'm living my life.
That's really the embodiment of the Paul Rudd video from eating hot ones.
She literally,
what's the Paul Rudd? I don't know.
Oh my god.
What does he say? He's like,
Who would have thought?
Not me. That white guy eating
the okay, I know which one.
He's like,
opening a champagne or a wine bottle?
It's hot sauce
bottle. Oh, okay, never.
No, it's fucking hilarious.
Paul Rudd is the god.
Yeah, he's
funny.
He's the only white god.
Seriously, the only one we appreciate.
Yeah.
But,
your stories are fucking hilarious.
Yeah, dude. But it's great. I'm glad that we all kind of, rose above it. Like, we still lived our whole lives. You know? We were like, I don't give a fuck, you know?
Oh my god.
I was like, okay.
So fun.
Yeah.
Okay, but now to the real topic.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I know, serious. Okay. Well, actually, you're the one who had prompted up this topic.
Yes.
Because of shit that went down at your workplace. But also, when was the first time that you, either one of you, realized that, sexual assault or sexual harassment was a word?
When I was, maybe 10 years old. Well, I knew what sexual assault was, but I didn't know, experiences that I had were linked to that. I would just think they're normal experiences for women and girls, catcalling, or when I would go with my mom to, the market or something, there would be a dude with his dick out, and my mom would just be like, just cover your eyes, let's go.
Yeah.
But it was just, the fact that, that's an everyday occurrence. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think my experiences, I didn't know what my experiences were called until later on. So that was probably, when I got to, either high school or college. Oh. When I found out what, sexual assault and,
I think the same as well. That was the same situation with me, because, there was things in my family that I saw very early on that I just didn't put the connection as well, you know? I was kind of I don't know what that is. That's gross, but I just don't know.
You're like, you know that's not right, but you don't have a word to put to it.
Like, for example, like, my dad was very, like, he's, like, one of those dudes that, like, likes to slap your ass. So then, like, he would do that to, like, my mom and, like, me, and I would, like, always tell him, like, no, like, I don't like the when you do that. But he would be like, oh, whatever, like, but, like, not in a, like, to grab your ass, he was just, like, you know, it was, like, one of those things, like, it was, like, a weird, I think the weird connection that I made with that was, like, weird football coach, where he's like, okay, like, and I just didn't like that at all, and I was like, no. That was one example, and I think just, like, just little shit that I would see, like, with my uncles, and, like, when I was young, and I was like, ooh, like, again, like, just feeling that. I'm not comfortable
with that. Yeah. And but then, nobody really saying anything.
Yeah, and then probably around the same time, like, I was aware of that, I think, of the word sexual assault, just because of, like, going into high school a little bit. Because I actually ended up taking one, it was, like, the freshman studies class that you take over the summer. So then I understood a little bit, but then, like, going into college was when I really, like, understood the definition of, like, assault and what that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's just, like...
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I feel like once I got to college, it was, like... And I started reading more, because even my first freshman, sophomore, like, it was still a little bit, like, I don't know. I didn't connect the experiences until I went, and I think I got a child development class, and I was like, oh, okay. Oh, okay. It's like,
check, check, check.
Or like, yes, you're like, fuck. Like, you're, like, checking off all the lists, and you're like, damn, like, it triggers you, and you're like, oh, fuck, like, these are the experiences that we have had, and you didn't have a word to put to it until now.
That's true. I think I fully came aware of it when I, like, it was, like, at the end of my credential program, and we, one of my last courses was, like, a counseling class, and, like, the professor was, like, this, she already had her MSU and all that, MSW and all that shit, and so she asked, like, the whole lecture hall, like, I think it was, like, a, raise your hand if you've ever been, it was, like, if you've been put in a position where you were, like, that you were up against your will or something. I don't know. I can't remember. But we all, like, raised our hand. And she was, like, oh, congratulations. Like, you all went through sexual assault. And I was, like, what the fuck? And
it's, like, kind of triggering for her to just do that. What the fuck?
Yeah. And, like, I was kind of, like, I didn't even want to raise my hand. I was kind of, like, oh, fuck. Like, okay. But then everybody was kind of, like, doing it. So I was, like, I guess it's okay. And, like, we just kind of, like, sat around the lecture hall, like, oh, shit. Okay, we've all been... touched inappropriately, this sucks. Okay. So I was like, but it's like a weird feeling, because you're just like, how long, like, then you come to the realization after reading so much and, like, researching, that you're like, okay, so I've been doing this for, like, almost my whole life, but up until now I just realized that this is what it's called, and, like, it's weird, you know.
Yeah
What about you?
For me, I think at a really young age, the only acceptable, like, definition for anything that I could, like, put a name to was rape. Because, you know, you could see, like, Casos de la Vida Real, and you know, my mom would be like, oh, like, that's rape, you know. But that's, like, the only word I ever knew.
Yeah, that's true.
And when I experienced, you know, what I'll talk about later, I didn't have, like, a name for it, because I was just like, obviously I didn't get raped, so nothing happened, you know. And it wasn't until my second semester of freshman year at ELAC, they had the denim day going on, and then suddenly, like, I was seeing the word, like, sexual assault, sexual harassment, like, everywhere on campus, and I think that in itself was, like, really triggering. And then I went on Google, and I was like, what's the difference between this and that? And then I was just like, holy fuck, like, that was really eye-opening and very scary, because then I felt, like, tunnel vision, where it was just, like, I was only looking at, like, one word.
But it's also, like, I don't know, for me, I feel like it was also disassociating, like, experiences or things that we've gone through, to just be like, no, like, it wasn't even a big deal. Like,
yeah, and then the crazy thing about my family, I don't think my mom did it to scare us or anything. I think it's, like, something really real, because I do believe in, like, curses and stuff like that. So one of my mom's, I'm gonna say it's, like, her grandpa. So my great-grandfather, he basically helped gang rape this girl in Mexico. And I guess they were so excessive in their force that they killed her. But before she passed, she did tell, like, all the men that raped her that that the women in their family would suffer the consequences. And my mom told us that story at a really young age. And almost every woman in my mom's family has experienced something. Yeah. So for me, like, that was, like, when my experience happened to me, I was just like, I deserved it or something. Mm. Like, I was just, like, in that mentality. And I feel like sometimes I still am, like, you know, I'm just paying whatever my grandpa did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, you can't blame yourself, you know, but yeah. I understand your experience. Like, yeah. You know, it's totally validated.
Yeah.
But I hope you know that it's never your fault what happens to you, you know? It's the choices that the abuser makes and not the victims.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But all of your feelings are totally validated.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Well, say, early in high school, did you guys have any experiences with being either sexually harassed or assaulted? Mm-hmm. You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
I think in high school, like, it didn't happen as often. Like, I mean, it would only happen, like, outside of school.
Mm.
Like, when I would go somewhere by myself and then there's, like, old men in a car passing by, like, whistling at me or, like, catcalling me, and I just kind of, like, would turn up my iPod, like, really loud so I just wouldn't, like, listen or, like, acknowledge it. But, yeah, like, in school I felt a little safe. Weirdly enough.
Yeah.
I felt safe because I was kind of, like, really reserved. Like, I was loud or I was obnoxious, but I would just, like, I think my persona, like, in a way, like, well, not in a way, but just, like, and I was just different at school. Like, I would be kind of, like, reserved, and I wouldn't, like, say anything to people that weren't my friends, so then I just kind of kept to myself for the most of my high school career.
Yeah.
And, like, I think that, not that it avoided anything, but I just, like, I never came in contact with any guy. And luckily that all the guys that I talked to and I frequented, like, they never really disrespected me, because I was able to put, like, a boundary.
Yeah.
Or, like, I would tell them when it was, like, okay, no.
Too much.
Yeah. And I think because of a childhood thing that happened to me, like, I just, that helps me set boundaries. And then also just, I knew my limit. Like, I knew that I wasn't ready for anything sexual in my life. So then, like, those dudes, like, would usually just understand and be like, okay, like, that's, we're not gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not until, like, after more things happened, but it was just, like, well, yeah.
No, I think, like, so many, like, just, like, everyday occurrences, I feel like, even walking home from the bus, catcalling. I feel like I got catcalled more when I was, like, 12 to, like even up until high school, 18, 19, catcalled even when I was walking on the street.
Yeah.
Like, guys showing their fucking dicks. Yeah. Like, me and my sister were, like, 12 years old. We walked to a burger joint, and we were walking out, and the guy in the burger joint, it was, like, our local burger joint, so we knew the owners. Like, we were, like, cool, because we grew up there our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude took pictures of us, like, as we were walking out, and my sister saw the flash. But me, I'm just the type of person, like, I'm just, like, tunnel vision, like you say. Like, just go and, like, mind my business and try to, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, and then my dad went over there, and he's, like, you know, like, he talked to them. But it's kind of funny, because it's, like, I feel like if it wasn't for my dad to go over there and speak to, the owners or talk to, like, you know, because the guy already, like, no, they had the guy there, and they're, like, well, we can look at his phone. But everything was, like,
deleted,
or there was, like, a flash of something of us or whatever.
Mm.
And, like, I feel like if it wasn't for my dad, then they wouldn't have taken us seriously.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the thing that's, like, in the world as we move in, it's, like, more of, like, if you get the permission of a man, or if a man goes and helps you, then it's more permissible, I guess, whatever.
More credible.
But, like, even, like, when I was younger, like, cousin, like, tried to take me into the bathroom with him, and I ran out, and I told my mom, and my mom just kept me for the rest of the day. But I don't even know what happened, so, you know, all I know is what my mom told me, and I don't even remember that experience. You know, so I don't know if there's, you know how it's just like people just block out shit. And, like, but my mom has always been good about, like, if anybody touches you, you tell me. I don't give a fuck if it's your family member. And, like, any men in our lives, like, like, because that's what her mom has always told her. Yeah. Like, even if your fucking dad or your brother, because you never fucking know. You know, yeah. You have so many cases within yeah. the family, you know. Mm-hmm.
And it's more common when it's in the family.
Yeah. Exactly. And thank God that none of my immediate family has yeah. ever, but for extended family, I don't know. I was a young kid and, yeah. you know, I don't even remember yeah. my mom, like, me running out of the yeah. bathroom and telling mm-hmm. my mom that. Yeah. She told me that. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, she tried to take me into the bathroom.
Yeah.
Like, but I don't know what else happened.
Yeah.
But, like, even throughout my experiences, even college, like, like, working with a coworker, and, like, I was working at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And, like, one of my coworkers, he put the caramel sauce, and he's like, oh, when he whips it out and puts it on the table. And I was just, like,
yeah.
uncomfortably, like, laughing it off. But then... like, somewhere down the line in the months or whatever, we all were, like, friends, and it was, like, a group chat on Snapchat, and then he posted a meme that said, when that rape porn comes out, and it was just, like, it comes out in class or whatever. It was yeah. a meme of SpongeBob or whatever, and nobody said shit in the group chat. This was, like, 20 mm-hmm. fucking people,
oof.
And I was just, like, I had another friend that confided in me of, like, what had happened to her about, like, rape and shit, and it was just kind of, like, to see that meme is, like, making fun of it. And, yeah. like, you know, it's, like, it kind of makes it okay that either male or female, you know, but at the position, like, male privilege for him to be able to send that mm-hmm. meme and still people are still friends with him afterwards, you know? Uh-huh. Like, I seen, like, all the coworkers were still friends with him. So I was just, like, you know what? And I told him, I'm, like, you're fucking like, this is fucking disgusting. Like,
yeah.
after that, I stopped it. Like, I stopped yeah. being friends with him. I avoided him and, like... like, it was just,
yeah.
Guys go under that nice guy, like, demeanor, and it's, like, yeah. he seemed like a really nice dude, mm-hmm. very respectful of women and shit. Yeah. I was, like, you're a fucking scum. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, just fucking so many experiences that it's just, like, I feel like that's the experiences of every woman.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know? And especially, like, women of color,
yeah.
you know, because we're sexualized by, our, like, our bodies and everything that it's, like... I don't know. It's crazy.
It is.
Yeah. So I knew this person in 8th grade. He was kind of like a mutual friend. My sister knows him and everything. And, like, this is, like, the kind of person that you would consider, like, a player in middle mm-hmm. school, you know? Like, mm-hmm. he just kind of, like, likes to get at girls or whatever. And, like, at that point, like... nowhere in my brain was I like, oh, like, I want, like, a boyfriend or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes you make, like, stupid middle school bets or shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't had, like, my first kiss yet. So, like, my friends were like, oh, well, if you haven't had your first kiss by the end of, like, 8th grade, then he has to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that happened, like, at the end of 8th grade. And it was, like, really weird for me because I just... in my, like, nowhere in my head was I, like, I need to do that or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we entered freshman year at Shure, I was just like, oh, I don't like you, you know, whatever way you think that I might like you. I was just like, I guess thanks for being my first kiss, but also not because I didn't, like, the way he did it, it was just very, like, there was, like, no warning beforehand. Like, we were just kind of walking around Eastmont, and then he just did it, and I was just like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
So it wasn't something that I had, like, control over. And then, you know the stairwells at C Building?
Yeah.
So Shure has, like, you know, their C Building or whatever, and we have stairwells because it's, like, it's all stairs on the edges of the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there, it was, like, raining or whatever, and my friends used to hang out by our, what's the place called? The amphitheater.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it was raining, I was just, like, inside the stairwell or whatever, and this person comes in to the thing, and then he sits next to me, and he, like, starts speaking out with me, and then, like, I tell him to, like, get off me, and I'm just, like, I'm trying to, like, do my homework. I was, mm-hmm. like, this is not the time or place. I was, like, and again, I was, like, I don't like you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And... he, like, continued, and I think my body just went into, like, shock, where I didn't know what to do, because then he proceeded to, like, touch my boob, and I told him I was just, like, stop,
mm-hmm.
and then he, like, whispered in my ear, he was just like, I know you want it, and then he, like, touched me down yeah. there, And that's kind of when I, like, I think my brain, like, woke up and, like, it was like, you're not in the right place right now.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, shoving him against the stairs, and I, like, ran out of there, and I stopped hanging out with my friends after that. I hung out in the band room, like, for the rest of, like, my high school career. And, like, walking through the stairs to get to, like, my classroom was, like, hell every day, because it was, like, remembering everything. And I remember going home to shower that day and feeling so dirty. And it was, like, no matter how many times I showered or whatever, like, I couldn't feel the same.
Yeah.
And again, like, I didn't have a word for this, you know, like, I was just like, it's just an experience, and I guess I have to get over it, you know? I was like, it wasn't rape, so I can't say anything, you know? And I remember that before I graduated from Shure, I told a teacher, and this teacher was very just so dismissive about it. She's just like, oh yeah, it happens to everybody. Ooh. So I was just like, if I tell an adult and they don't believe me, then what the fuck am I gonna do? And I feel like that's a lot of, like, in part of, like, rape culture, especially in the media, of when it shows you who gets an experience versus who doesn't. Or who, you know, who experiences something. Because for me, it was always just, like, thin people are the ones who experience, like, sexual assault, or people who have, like, curves or something about their body that, you know, attracts people. Yeah. And I'm like, no one's gonna believe that a fat girl got sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, you know, like, until that denim day at ELAC, and, you know, like, all that happened, I think that was, like, the day where I accepted that I had gone through something. And when you start accepting something that happened to you in terms of, like, trauma, it becomes so, like, a part of you. Like, where you get so hyper aware of everything around you. I had this, like, English professor, and I think he was just, like, so energetic around his students, but to me, because I was barely trying to figure this out, you know, I didn't trust to be around him. I was like, I remember the last day I took my exam, I, like, left it in his desk, and I was like, I'm out. Because he liked being so close to my group, because we were, like, the best students in the class. And he would always be like, oh, I have so much, like, I see so much potential in you. And I didn't like those words coming from him or from anybody. Like, I couldn't even be close to, like, any of my classmates, just because I was, like, finally, like, aware of my body and what it had gone through. Yeah, that was, like, my first experience. And then something that's kind of, like, coming back to me, I don't know if you guys saw my story. It was something that I had posted in regards of the Bomberettes. So this happened, like, during that year. Because that was, like, the peak of, or when I started, like, a lot of my activism. You know, 2016, like, Trump is about to become president. We're all, like, on super edge and whatever. And I think for me, I was just trying to find something that was, like, in my community. And one of my sister-in-law, she sent me, like, this thing about the Brown Berets in East LA, and she's like, oh, you should probably, like, join them or whatever. And I had heard of them before, like, in history books or, you know, documentaries, and I was like, oh, like, they're really, like, down with activism and all this other shit. But we don't realize how sometimes, like, those groups protect a lot of men. And sometimes even, like, women protect those men in some instances. And there's a chapter in Cal State LA, and there's this guy, his name's Robert Crystal. And he and I got, like, along really well, like, the first few meetings that we had. Like, he seemed, like, really passionate. Like, he would reach out to everybody and be like, oh, how are you guys doing? You know, like, how's school going? Kind of like a mentor almost. And so I felt safe enough to finally confide in, like, at least one person about this experience that I had gone through. And this person took it too far, because then he was like, oh, like, how do you identify, you know, like, with your sexuality? And I thought that was kind of, like, a far-based question. But I was just like, okay, I was just like, I'm not gonna deny it. I was just like, but I was like, I'm gay. And he was just like, oh. And then he was just like, have you had any experiences with women before? And I was just like, not that I need to validate that. I was like, but no, I haven't yet. I was like, but in the future, you know, obviously I will. Mm-hmm. And then he started telling me, he was just like, oh, like, I want to show you what sex is supposed to be.
Ooh, what the fuck?
Yeah, and I told him no so many times, and then he was just like, yeah, like, he was like, I'm not with my girlfriend right now, and he was just like, and I just want to show you that it's, like, beautiful, you know, like, I'll be gentle with you, and, like, all these things, you know.
What a fucking predator.
Yeah, and I felt really uncomfortable and disgusted, because he had asked me if I had ever masturbated and stuff, and because I had gone through, like, this trauma, I never had, you know, like, I didn't trust my body, like, even now, like,
yeah,
it's scary to have to know your own body, especially when you've gone through shit. And he'd be like, oh yeah, he was just like, you know, you just have to get down there and do it. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Uh-huh. And I got out of the Facebook group chat that we had, and I sent emails to Castor LA to, like, report these people, because they were still meeting at Castor LA in the library, and I'm pretty sure they still do. And I reached out to this other girl that was in the group with me, and she and I are friends, and I was like, have you had any experiences with the guys in this group? And she's just like, yeah, like, the older guy keeps, like, harassing me, and he, and, like, I tell him that I have a boyfriend, and he was like, well, I can be a better boyfriend for you.
Oh, that's fucking creepy.
Yeah. So now they're kind of going through this, a lot of people are coming up, like, you know, with their own stories of all these men who are in the brown barrettes who have abused, like, their power position. But what I felt so stupid about is that a group of girls that were in the chapter that I joined wrote a whole article about them, saying how this guy was very misogynistic, very homophobic, how a lot of the girls demanded to have, like, some of the leadership that all the men in the group had. And he was just, like, very dismissive, and the girls, the guy's girlfriend would come into the meetings and basically, like, try and, like, shut them out and stuff. So the girlfriend, like, defended her boyfriend every single time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Dumb bitches, okay.
Yeah.
I digress.
Yeah.
Fuck my life. And then what's the situation now? Like, has anyone taken these accounts seriously? Like, in terms of, like, anybody at Castor LA, like, admin or anything? Or
no.
No. Okay.
Yeah. And I think the reason why they can't really do much is because they meet in the weekends. So they're not technically there while there's, like, classes going on. Yeah.
That's fucking disgusting.
Yeah, and it's also, it's so many men in those groups.
Oh my god. And that's my shit with it, because, like, in higher education or, like, higher academia, you think that you're safe. And those are, like, just a reminder for everybody, because it's obvious, right? Like, these places are not safe places for people of color or black people.
Yeah.
Or just because it's, like,
or women, you, or LGBT folk.
Yeah, because it's, like, you really think there's a safe haven because, wow, they're, like, really with the time, and they're woke, and they have all these, like, support systems, but in reality, like, they're not even there really in place.
Yeah.
But, like, it's more like, it's like being, like, trying to act progressive when it's, like, there's very, like, subtle ways of, like, how people in higher positions are, like, sexist or homophobic.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was working as RA for the program at Cal State LA, and RPMA. Like, and the person that was running it, my friend, she had a shirt that says, let boys wear pink, or let boys play with dolls, or something like that. Like, let boys be boys. Like, you know, not, like, don't try to grow them up to men and be, like, misogynistic and stuff. And he's like, let boys wear pink. Like, what is that? And we legit had, like, 5 minutes ago, we just had a workshop on how to be an ally to LGBT folks and to be respectful of other people. And this fool just, like, I was oh my God. Like, just certain things. And then, like, even him, he would have me always do, like, the emails and the secretary work and all that shit when there was, like, three other guys right there, and, like, he always depended on the women to do everything, and the guys would just sit back, and, like, we were talking to the students, and we were, like, actually having, like,
yeah,
you know, really deep conversation. Mm-hmm. And like, we were being the counselors, and he didn't really care. It just seemed like he didn't really care.
Yeah.
You know?
Go ahead now. And I think something that the three of us can relate to, and something that you just mentioned a little bit while ago, is that you're supposed to feel safe in these, like, academic institutions. And, like, that's such a false narrative that I think, you know, like, when the whole Brock Turner... Mm-hmm. should happen. Mm-hmm. You're like, you expect a university like Stanford to, I don't know, maybe be more competent when something like that happens, but instead these headlines are like student athlete and not like rapist, and that also is like part of it's just like media in itself is like the biggest like factor to when it comes to like how we talk about rape. And then like at PCC, like, it's a community college, so obviously you wouldn't expect it to get the biggest like attention to its students, like, only when it's beneficial for them. When this whole thing was happening, I had gone back to PCC, and I found a friend in my journalism class, and we had both kind of gone through like the same experience in high school, except hers was more public because she went to court.
Ooh.
And she like fought this guy, and her whole city was just like, we don't believe this girl. We're like, we know how she dresses, she asked for it.
And it sucks because even if you try to like do a police report or do anything about it, you're not really protected. And it's like,
no. And so for her, her biggest nightmare was that this guy still got to go to college. Because the judge was like, you guys both have really good, like, basically the whole Brock Turner situation, but with her. And so we kind of became like vigilantes at school because there was a rape that happened on campus. But this time it happened to a male student. So like it was really interesting to kind of see
how that played out.
And there was a lot of like shit going on campus that year where it was like this guy that was going around in a bike, like, flashing students or trying to grab girls inappropriately. And PCC does a really shitty job when it comes to protecting its students in terms of that, because we would bug the campus police every day when we were on campus, and we would ask for the police blotter, and that's basically where it tells you, like, what shit goes down. And it'd be like, oh, we can't give you any of that. But as students, you deserve to know that information. And then we would reach out to the dean of the school, and he'd be like, no comment, no comment. Like, they didn't help us at all. You know, we were just there, like...
They're like, fuck it, I guess.
It was like an open field day for us.
And it's crazy how, like, it's like, okay, if, like, there's, like, a man on a bike flashing students, like... And... I don't know, I feel like it's a world that we live in that it's like they protect males more than their female students. And like, it was interesting because like last week I was watching a documentary called The Mask We Live In, and it's talking about how like basically how boys are basically socialized into like thinking women are objects, and how sports, like media sports, have like a toxic state where it's aggression, power, domination, and hyper masculine figures. And even like in the States, like United States, it's like American masculinity. The average boy watches 40 hours of television, and men of, and most of those, what is it? It's like also 99% of boys play video games, and most of the video games are very violent. And it's like GTA where they, like, you see like the like sex workers, and they treat them like, oh, shit, like you ain't shit, you know? And it's really crazy because even, and aside from that, it's like men of color are pigeonholed in like violent roles and hyper violent sex, money, power is like how like black men are fetishized and like they're deemed, oh, thug or anything, or as well as like Latino males, young Latino and black males are considered like thugs, and oh, they're feisty and they're powerful, and they're like, they get like fetishized as well. And it's weird because it has them conditioned to be like, these are the things, these are like my personality, this is what I'm supposed to be, like machismo. And I feel like that's how it gets transitioned to women, because it's like a superior and inferior complex. You know,
it is.
No, it's interesting you bring that up, because when we were canvassing for Cell, we were about we were by South Montebello, mm-hmm. you know, like Bluff Road, like yeah. passing Washington. It's mm-hmm. still like a part of that area that's Montebello.
Yeah.
And I guess we ran into one of Sel's mom's like friends and they were having a party.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they were talking about Sel was like so like hypersexual almost.
Mm.
And like we kind of laughed it off because we had never seen anybody talk about yeah. Sel that way. They're like, okay, guapo, you know, like, ya tienes novia, you know, like, how like, yeah. tías would tease you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we realized, like, how inappropriate that would be if it were a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, wait, I was just like, that just literally happened to Sel. Like,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to diminish his, like, experience that he just had. And we're like, we make such a, like... We're so unfazed by that shit with yeah. our own yeah. family
and older,
members.
And older women are the, like, they're predators to young boys. Because I've had so many, like, guy friends say that they lost their virginity at 12, 11 years mm-hmm. old mm-hmm. to an older woman. And to them, yeah. they're like, oh, yeah, like I fucked her, whatever, like, you know, and yeah. I was 12 or whatever. Yeah. I'm like, no, homie, like, you got raped. Like, Laurie, you got touched. Like, I'm so yeah. sorry that happened to you. But I think even as young boys, they're socialized to be the man mm-hmm. of the house or be yeah. like, oh, no, like, you have to be, like, this type of, like, man or you ain't a man at all, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like video games, society, and women, like... You know, mothers also enable their sons' behaviors towards women because it's, they like, do. The lack of boundaries. And it says that even in the violent video games, it reinforces behaviors. Because, like, if you see in the video games, like, the strong masculine figure,
mm-hmm.
when he's upset or sad, he's very quiet and he mm-hmm. holds his feelings, you yeah. know? And then the only way to be expressive is to be violent
mm-hmm.
or, like, express anger.
Yeah.
You guys gotta check out that movie. It's pretty crazy. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
The mask we live in, and it talks about like, cause I like to see both point of views because, yeah. although it does happen extreme like an alarming rate to women, femme, LGBT folks, like it also happens to men as well.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that about the boys specifically losing their virginity at a young age. It reminded me of this. I think it was, like, a Behind the Music episode or some shit. But it was, like, Lil Wayne was being interviewed.
Oh, yeah.
And he mentioned that, like, when he was still living in New Orleans, like, that he lost his virginity at 11. And he, like, was very boastful. Like, oh, yeah, like, I fucked her and da-da-da-da. And then, like, fast forward to, like, years later. Like, I think he's still struggling with, like, mental health issues. Because, like, he's been very, like, vocal about, like, oh, shit, like, I'm going through something right now.
Yeah.
But... That's the same shit, though. It's, like, yeah. like when you think about it, it's, like, homie was raped. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't by choice. It was, I'm pretty sure if we were to able to dissect the situation, it wasn't, like, he was, like, oh, yeah, I woke up today and I'm gonna fuck her. Like,
it's just grooming.
It's grooming.
And it's also, like, even, like, if you see, like, children's clothes, it's, like, yeah. ladies' man
yeah.
or,
yeah.
like, or, like, oh, crazy like my dad, or something
or
like that.
Daddy's little girl.
Yeah, you know, like, or in daddy's little girl.
And I feel like that word has become so sexualized in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And, like, nothing's same.
Yeah, like, I...
No, for real,
there's
yeah.
nothing against the women who like saying daddy, but I cannot. I literally cannot, because I feel like there's, like, a gross connotation. Mm-hmm. At least for me, like, that's how
yeah.
I feel, and I don't feel
I think the internet ruined it.
Like,
yeah.
go off if you like that word, but you
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
At the same time, it was, like, people who's gone through shit, they're like, I don't want to say that. I'll call you father. I'm not going to call you daddy.
Yeah, and then, you guys know Yvette.
Yeah.
So, I think, like, a few months ago, she had put a graph of all of Leonardo DiCaprio's girlfriends.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and they're,
yeah.
like,
that,
20 years
old. Yeah, I was just like,
That's also, like, very interesting how him, Johnny Depp, I'll even go as far as to say, like, the lead singer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis, he's, like, a big, big culprit of that, where they just date really, really young supermodels, like, fucking, like, 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
And they're, like, triple the age. They're, like, 50. And
yeah.
I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then, like, my sister has, like, in the past, she's like, oh, they were, like, 18, so technically they're, like, legal.
Or even, like, freaking Madonna with her, like, 20-year-old boyfriends. Like, I still feel like that's...
Yeah.
That's weird, you know? But it's more like, oh, she's a cougar. Or
yeah.
he's, like... He's just more established and
yeah.
like he's able to take on that young supermodel. But it's also
yeah.
like
no.
I feel like we also live in like an ageist
yeah.
society in which like it's like as like, for women, your peak is, like, in your 20s, and after 30, you're kind of, like, dried up, or you haven't gotten married, like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, you know? And then for men, it's, like, you can be 45 with, like, a 20-year-old and be, like, oh, like, he's just, you know, he's so like, living. Yeah, he's living. Like, I want to be that guy or whatever.
Do you guys watch SNL at all?
Yeah.
I don't watch that because this is cringy. That shit is cringy.
But, I think it was earlier this year, when Pete Davidson came back after his whole, like,
Ariana Grande shit.
He had posted something on Instagram where he was just like, I'm going to kill myself.
Oh, yeah.
He was, like, off his meds or whatever. Mm. And he came back to, like, talk a little bit about it, but he was with John Mulaney.
Hola.
So, yeah, they were, like, on air and they were talking about this movie. It's called The Mule.
Mm.
And it's with fucking Clint Eastwood, and they were making fun of it because Clint Eastwood's like 90 in this movie.
Yeah.
And John Mulaney was like, this is a movie about superheroes for old people, because like John Mulaney's like driving in this movie and he's like 90 and he's like driving without his hands, like he's trying to open like an ice cream or whatever.
Yeah.
But the funniest shit that they said was that in this movie that Clint Eastwood starred and directed in, he has 2 threesomes in this movie.
What the fuck? 2 threesomes with like young ass women. Oh, and that's my why God. I'm
just like laughing. Like, it just, I propped it up.
That's
that
so
memory.
Random.
Oh my God. That's disgusting.
That is.
I kind of want to plug in some like resources that I've been looking. The East LA Women's Center, they have a really great website. They have a live chat.
Yeah.
It's 24/7. Confidential and bilingual, and they have a lot of resources for women, community engagement. They also have housing services for domestic and sexual violence victims. And you can also get involved. You can either donate or there's also career opportunities.
Yeah.
And they even have a section on their website that talks about like our voices and their stories and the 40 years they've been like in East LA. So
something really cool about the East LA Women's Center is that if you want to, so if someone goes through an assault experience or domestic abuse experience, you're supposed to go to the hospital. And the East LA Women's Center gives you this training. They do it either in the fall or the spring, whichever one you're more comfortable with or have more time with, but it's like a 6-week training that you're supposed to go to. You get your certificate at the end, but that basically allows you to go with a survivor to the hospital and be there as an emotional support human or help kind of like have a conversation with the doctor if they're too much in shock to speak.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to them.
Is it the domestic violence healthcare toolkit?
No. Yeah, but they do, like, a training. Like, you get your certificate, like, an actual physical certificate.
That's cool.
And then they do have an East LA Women's Center, like, group for youth.
Yeah.
So youth, basically, like, they do these seminars or they make workshops. And these are, like, kids in high school who are having conversations about this with their classmates and their community, which is, like, really cool to see because I feel like a lot of times, like, some kids can be very sheltered off on this topic. And
especially the Latinx community.
And
we only have a sex talk once. And it's very vague.
Yeah.
And then you don't have it like at all. And you have to figure out shit from yourself.
Literally.
And that's the sucky part about it, because a lot of people learn sex education through porn or through their friends' like stories, and like, I don't know, I feel like that's like, I mean, from your friends' stories, I feel like you can probably gather more information, but like from porn, it's like very,
or like stupid rom-coms.
And I think it's kind of shitty because like when things do happen to you, it's like harder for you to name, like we were saying earlier, like it's harder for us to name what it is and then pinpoint like when was it the exact moment that like this really like happened. And it's hard. And I think with that, the next thing that I wanted to bring up was like, I want to remind the listeners and like whoever, like anyone in general, just like if you're listening to this, like know that like things happen to you and like it's okay to not say shit.
Yeah.
Because like I get the whole thing about like pressuring people to kind of like, you have to say
like
something.
Like the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Like,
and yeah.
Like, and it's hard because it's triggering, especially on the TL when it's like everybody's like, a lot of women, especially black women and indigenous women are missing at an alarming rate. Yeah. And it's just...
It's a lot. And I think with the Me Too movement, that was one of the things that I was kind of having a hard time getting behind, because like, they were like, we're here for all the women that are like the folks that like were affected by sexual violence and shit like that. But when you think about like the women behind the scenes that are just kind of like seeing all of this shit happen, and they're just so fucking triggered. And it's like, let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
It's like, you expect us to say something, but if you've ever been in that position, at least like myself, where it was like, you say something or something bad's gonna happen to you. Mm-hmm. You have this constant fear of like, oh shit, like I don't want to risk my life or my job or whatever because I'm gonna come out and say this.
Yeah.
And it's much easier for these people to just like keep it to themselves for many, many years until they finally decide to seek the help, or you know, they just finally tell somebody within their immediate family or their friends, you know?
Yeah, and especially because like, you know, resources aren't free, you know, like therapy sessions and finding a good therapist, like not one who's gonna like discriminate against you and like, you know, sometimes you have to go through a lot to even find a good one. And it's like,
true,
how are you supposed to, especially in this capitalist society, like how are you supposed to engage with your mental health, still go to school, still go to work, you know, helping out your family and just trying to be able to live your life? And it's like, it's very overwhelming.
And it's just to remind yourself to like, also like, you shouldn't feel shame if you choose to be quiet, because at the end of the day, like, it's your choice to go through with you getting your help, or like you figuring out your own way that will help you cope with it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like, you don't owe a narrative to anybody.
Yeah,
like, and you know, you brought up the whole like Me Too movement. Yeah. Like, this movement was hijacked by white women. Keep that in mind. Because Tarana Burke started this movement, a black woman, let's not forget that, and then everybody suddenly forgets her name because Reese Witherspoon and Brie Larson and all these like white women who are like in Marvel movies and, you know, the Oscar nominees and shit, like, they get a little fucking pin and give it to Ryan fucking Seacrest, and they're like, let's forget about all the shitty things we've done and just put a pin on it.
Yeah. And then I think also with that, piggybacking off what you said, like, I don't know if you guys were like aware of that whole Harvey Weinstein situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, that was like the cherry on top to the hijacking.
Yeah.
Because then all of that shit that Tarana Burke created was totally fucking like shadowed by this shit, which was again just white people, white men in general, that were just like putting in that position.
Wasn't like the Me Too movement originally like based for women of color and black women and indigenous women who, you know, like, the ones who are like in the low income areas that are, you know, serving all these people, they're the ones being harassed on the daily.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's unspoken narratives that, you know, are still unspoken because of like the hijacked movement.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole first, like, the whole Me Too movement started like 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So I actually saw Tarana Burke when she started this whole thing off. It was a United Women conference in downtown LA.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really cool because, like, Michelle Obama was there. Queen. And Tarana Burke was there, and she had, like, the stage filled with indigenous women. And I forget what specific corporation these, like, cleaning ladies were with, and, like, dishwasher ladies were on stage with her while she was, like, talking about the whole Me Too movement that she was gonna start. And she was like, no, this is for women who don't get paid and who get abused by their bosses, you know, whether that's, like, staying late or being talked about really badly because of the clothes they're wearing as, like, you know, waitresses and shit, you know, you get harassed on a daily basis, and for all, like Desiree mentioned, like, all these indigenous women who are missing and not being found, and, like, you see it being hijacked by white women afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, like, that's the same shit with, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, like, that was started by black women who, you know, have had their sons
murdered
by cops, like, and then you have Sean fucking King taking everything.
The donations and everything.
Yeah. Fuck Sean King.
Yeah, honestly. I think when all of that Me Too shit started happening, like, it was just so much. At least from in my perspective of a lot of things. Because, like, just seeing it how you were saying, Darzuri, like, constantly, like, just
affects
you.
Even, like, within the Supreme Court. Yeah. That, Kavanaugh.
Oh my god, that's another shit.
And like, yeah. It just, like, it's very triggering. And then, like, we had, I mean, personally, I had, like, friends or, like, acquaintances of mine that were men and that they were coming up to me and, like, have you heard about all of this going on? And I'm like, bro, like, yeah, I have. Like, you know, I see it on the news. I see it on Twitter. I see it on Instagram, Facebook. I see it everywhere. Yeah. And then my daily experiences as a woman, like, you know, you don't need to tell me all of the shit that's going on because I already know.
Yeah, it's surprising at this point.
And it's just kind of like, I don't know, it can make you really blue in the world that it's just like,
oh yeah,
you have to get off of all of that shit so that you can live your life because it's triggering.
It is. And you feel like, to some degree, like, you relive all those moments again. And you're like, fuck, I don't want to relive that.
Like, all the dirtbags that got away. And you're just like, just another example that you can still be in the fucking Supreme Court. You can still be the president of the, you know, the fucking U.S. and still be, get away with all the shit.
And I think, like, with that, too, like, with seeing all that, you, like, it's just another reminder that you're like, fuck, I don't see myself in this movement. Like, I don't see myself, like, being defended the way that it should have been from the
beginning. Yeah.
And, like, when that happened, like, when all of those trials and shit started happening, I was, like, just wondering, like, because literally years before that, like, where I was working at some shitty-ass car dealership at the time, like, all these things were happening to me, and then I was, like, again, kind of didn't know how to put the name on what was happening to me. And then, like, when all of those trials started happening, like, I kind of was like, oh, shit, you know?
This is all the shit that gets dismissed on the daily.
Yeah, and then just for context, I guess, like, I'll just share that, like, I was working at a little secondhand car dealership at the time in East LA. I only worked there for, like, about a year, and I just could not after that. I was, like, at the end of my fucking rope, and I was like, I need to get out of here, I'm gonna die. Like, I'm literally gonna, like, this is not gonna work out. And the guy that was, like, harassing me was, like, one of the mechanics, and I was, like, the receptionist at the time, but I did everything. Like, I wasn't just at the desk. I was, like, ordering parts, picking up shit and for cars. But it got to a point where I was, like, I can't, and I quit. And I told my boss, like, about it. But because it was a small business, they couldn't really do much, and, like, they kind of really, like, they just dismissed my allegations, you know? And then when I quit, they made me, like, right away sign, like, an NDA form saying, like, I'm not gonna share what happened. And stuff. And this was also including, like, because her husband was my other boss. But that was a whole other shit show. It wasn't, like, a sexual thing, but it was just, like, he was such a fucking asshole. Like, he just dismissed, like, everything. Like, I would say something, he'd be like, well, why the fuck are you complaining? And, like, shit like that. And I felt so cornered because, like, I was like, well, fuck, I sign it or I get sued. So which one is it? So I was like, I'm just going to sign it, you know?
Well, you wouldn't get sued because they they still have to get your signature on the NDA.
Yeah.
So, and like, I know they can. It can be, like, defamation of character or whatever, but even through all that fucking process and even trying to go back and forth, it's, like, it takes a toll on you.
Yeah. It does, and I was just 19 and very scared, so I was like, I'm just gonna sign it.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah. And then fast forward to, like, now with the Me Too movement and then seeing all that shit, and it was kind of, like, too much. I stopped because I couldn't, like, watch the
news. I had to stop.
Yeah, because I was, like, reliving that, and I was like, fuck. And, like, I felt so bad for, like, Anita Hill and, like, those women that were, like, for example, like, going, like, in trial against Brett Kavanaugh, and I was just like, fuck. Like, imagine you putting yourself in that situation of, like, opening up the floodgates and then going through the legal process, like, and you see no end. And, like, I think that's why.
And then your character is, like, ripped apart in the media. Yeah. And, like, everybody in the boys club is just like,
yeah. And it's true because, like, once you start saying something, everybody's like, why are you such a fucking buzzkill? Like, why are you fucking you're like, what the fuck? Like, you think I'm happy that people, like, talk to me this way, that fucking men are cornering me at work? Like, that's not, like, what the fuck? Like, that's not okay. Like, what would, like, you wouldn't like it if someone cornered you against your will? Like, it's the same shit. And then similar when I had worked at Panda, it was the same thing. Like, men were just being disgusting. Kind of like what Desiree was saying with people, like, fucking around with bags and saying, like, oh, like, just stupid jokes that were not funny at all.
And, like, I spent 2 years there, and I was so fucking miserable. And that was partly my fault. Like, I could have left. I really could have just, like, you know what? Fuck it. Money is money. Like, I'll find something else.
But yeah.
In the moment, because you're so, like, worried about, oh, where is my money going to come from? Like, how am I going to survive? That you're just kind of coping. You're just, like, on survival mode every fucking day.
And just trying to get through your shift and, like, you know, punch in and punch out.
Yeah, and it was around the time that, like, Denise kind of got really sick, and I was like, fuck, I can't afford to just lose my job right now. And you just put up with so much. And I think that for us, like, it's so easy to just, like, okay, we're just going to keep it in, and, like, whatever, like, we'll figure it out. And then it just comes to a head. Like, you get to a point where you're just, like...
You explode.
Yeah. And, like, again, no one's there to tell you, like, what to do. And, like, even when you want to do the good thing, like, your fucking managers don't give a fuck about you, like...
And it sucks, especially if you're, like, living paycheck to paycheck. And, like, women, especially, like, undocumented women that are, like, single-parent households just trying to fucking make it through. It's, like, you cannot afford to lose that job.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot afford to hire a babysitter for all the days that you're not able to take care of your child while you're working, or, like, taking care of someone else's child because you're trying to make a living.
Yeah. And I think that was a lesson for me in itself, because I learned two things. One, I shouldn't be telling other women or, like, my friends, like, to be like, oh, well, just leave the job, or, like, just leave your man. Like, it's not as easy as it is.
Yeah.
Because you don't know the whole aspect of the situation. Mm-hmm. And for them to do that is, like, their livelihood that they're fucking with, or, like, just their plain safety.
Yeah.
And you don't want to get in the way of that. And then two is just also realizing, like, you have the choice of whether how far you want to get with this. Because, like how you were saying, like, it's great that you want to, like, try to survive and stay afloat, but also, like, keeping in mind that there's a point where you need to say stop, and then know that where your
resources are and boundaries.
Yeah.
Because, like, I just made that stupid mistake, and I learned too late. I feel like there's a lot of shit that I could have done.
I feel you.
But I mean, like, I don't regret any of it, because then I was like, well, at least I learned.
Like, these experiences help shape them so that in the future we're not able, hopefully we're not able to deal with as much as the shit that we were dealing with when we were young, like, ladies, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, just to plug in some, like the crisis hotline for East LA Women's Center, it's, like, 800-585-6231. And those are just, like, for anybody who's feeling, like, you know, they can't really speak to anybody, not even your friends or family or anything, like, that crisis hotline is available for you to speak. And if you don't want to speak to anybody, get a journal, you know, find ways of creating hobbies for yourself that you're able to, you know, find healthy alternatives.
Yeah.
Don't let it consume you entirely. Like, I think that's the hardest thing I had to learn, was how to not make my experience the thing that made me.
Exactly.
You know, because it's very hard to not be able to do that, you know, like...
Yeah.
Because you look at everything, you're like, what is my life now?
Yeah.
And you kind of, like, look at it like, oh, shit, like, this really happened to me. This person really did that. Like, holy fuck.
They invaded my
space. And then, you know, like, you had said something about, like, Brett Kavanaugh. Like, when I saw that thing happening, like, it was so intense because, you know, like, you don't leave the conversation at all. Like, Desiree was saying, you know, like, it happens at all times. So it's, like, it's, like, almost not a shock factor to anybody when that happens. And, like, when men... go up to you and are like, oh, like, how are you keeping up with it, you know, like, why are you asking me, like, why don't you go ask your guy friends who are probably, like, more predatory or something, or who say, like, or who've seen shit,
the dudes in your group of friends that go after high school girls that they're already 25 or 24 or even in their 20s and they're still going after, like, minors.
Like, even with, like, my own friends, like, I've had to, like, if anything, like, how you said, Ashley, like, I have had to learn how to put boundaries in certain things, or not call out, but, educate, and that's not something I should be doing, but where else are these people gonna get it from, you know, like, they're not gonna learn anything until something happens to them, and that's sometimes very unfortunate. Like, I don't know if you remember this, Desiree, but when we were still performing at the Daily Brew, I had mentioned something to you about a guy that's telling you that was constantly calling me, like, mamacita and shit like that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, so when that whole thing was happening, like, I remember telling Edgar, and I told him that I wanted Sal to tell this guy something because I wasn't comfortable enough to tell him anything. Yeah. Like, you know, this guy's older. He's just going to, like, laugh it off or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, Sal is someone that he knows. And he's a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what Edgar told me, like, really pissed me off. And I didn't talk to him for, like, a few weeks because he was just, like, he was like, oh, that's not fair of you to ask Sal that. He was just like, if you have a problem with it, and then he's like, then you have to tell this guy. And, like, I get he was, like, I guess trying to, like, toughen me up or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, but I'm but also...
that's not cool. And then, if anything, he could have been like, you know what, my friend, like, I'm sorry that you have to go through them. Using my male privilege, I'm going... Even him, like, not even Sal, like, even though it would have been cool.
Yeah.
But even him hearing your situation as a man... And it's like, you should have used your male privilege to be like, hey, you know what, dude? Like, stop fucking talking to my friend like that. She don't like it. So quit that shit.
No, and then he had told me, he was just like, oh, like, to each their own.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, I didn't talk to him for like a few weeks after that. Mm-hmm. And like, Sel did talk to this guy afterwards. Mm-hmm. He was just like, you know, you're making my friend really uncomfortable. And he was like, I really want you to stop. Oh, and he did. So
shout
like,
out to him.
Yeah. So that was like really cool of him. But it like. It's just, like, all the shit that happens.
Men have a really weird way of just, like...
respecting another man's authority.
Yeah, because, like, it's so crazy how fast they'll just, like, defend somebody and be like... Like, they just... It was a joke. Like, come on. Like, you can tell him that you didn't like that. I'm like, really? Could I? Like, how do I know that this guy's not gonna fucking attack me? Because I was like, oh, yeah, like, I don't like
that's the scare then, factor, like, yeah.
He could just do whatever, you know what I mean?
And there's so many accounts of, like, men just fucking... Like, killing women over rejection.
Yeah.
Simple rejection. They get killed over, or they get abused, or sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
And I think, with that being said, too, like, for me, it was so hard to just speak on shit with other male friends because of that fear. Because I was like, how do I know that you're going to take me seriously and defend me?
Exactly.
Like, I think I did tell you, but point being that, like, a mutual friend that I had been hanging out with, like it was just, we've known each other for a long time, but something weird happened and I didn't say anything, like, to Josh for a long time until, like, years after the fact. And he told me, and I think this happened, like, last year, and he was like, well, why didn't you tell me? Like, I could have done something. And I was like, you know what, you're right. Like, I could have said something, but I was like, you can't force me to say something and then what, you're gonna go fix it? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like,
what are you gonna do? Like, go fuck him up? Like, he still did the shit.
Yeah, I was like, it still happened to me. Like, it's not gonna bring me any peace, you know what I mean? Or, like, and that, I told him, too, I was like, I don't even know, I didn't know that you were gonna keep him accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, I don't give a fuck, because he's like, at the end of the day, like, you're important to me, like, I don't want, like, something. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I can't, I calmed down, and I was like, dang, I'm an asshole, I'm sorry, I should have told you sooner, but.
But it's still it's validated that you know, just like we said, like, you don't owe anybody like your story or what happened to you, you know, unless you're ready for it.
Yeah. And I think in the moment I just was ready, but it's just that thing that I told him. I was like, the reason I didn't say anything is because, like, I don't know what this guy could do to you or to me. And I would not forgive myself if something happened to you because I put you in that position to defend me, and that's not what I'm asking for. But I just want your acknowledgement that this happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation opened up more things for us, and that helped a lot.
Mm.
But I always remind him, because, like, not that he doesn't... I guess you could say he forgets. Because it's normal for men to just forget that, like, oh, yeah, by the way, this is a safety factor as well. Like, you don't tell me this because I know it's not because you don't trust me, but because, like, you fear for our safety. And that's normal, you know?
Yeah.
And then... because of that, like, also thinking about what you were saying, Jocelyn, is, like, back to that thing, like, men just, like, fucking defend themselves so fast, and it's just, like, when I had confronted that guy about what happened, like, he was kind of like, well, what's gonna happen to our friends if they find out?
Like, are you really gonna be the person to break up our friend group? Or
he really guilt-tripped me into that, and I kind of bought into it a little bit, because I was like, well, fine, I'm not gonna say anything. And I was like, I left. And the good thing about that was, like, I put my boundary in a way, and, like, I didn't see him for a long time after that. Until years later, like, we saw each other again through a party or whatever. But it was just like, well, it is what it is. Like, I didn't have to see him, and it kind of worked out. Most situations, it doesn't happen that way, you know what I mean? But, like, I was just glad and blessed that we just didn't have to talk to each other after that. But that's also why I kind of just started falling away from my male friends, because it's just like, you guys, like, defend all the wrong people, and you guys say that you're for women, and, like, you're supporting me, and, like, you really don't. You just see me like a
piece of meat. Like, you don't really, like, and that made me so sad, because it's like, fuck, like, you're my friends too. Like, I thought you considered me, like, wow, like, you really cared about what I have to say.
I think, like, when we're growing up, it's kind of like, oh, we can be friends with guys. Like, guys are less drama than girls. But really, it's like, guys don't have an empathy. It's not that, like, I don't want to say all guys, because then people are going to be coming at me like, but it's like, most guys don't have that empathetic side, because it's only reserved for people they care about, for sisters,
moms,
girlfriends, or maybe, like, that really cool friend that they've, like, known for forever.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's like, we see in these friendships that it's, like, the motive for guys is either sex or, like,
they're gonna get something.
Yeah, they want something, whether that be sex or emotional, like, what's the thing? Emotional labor, that it's like, your guy friends are, like, talking your ear off about all the shit they've been through. Yeah. You know, just, like,
too much.
Oh, okay, like, I don't really get to, it's not reciprocated, you know, but, like, that, it just, it sucks, because as you get older, you learn that women are more, are better friends, because of, like, they reciprocate love and energy, you know, they, like, you know, if you give me a chocolate, I'm gonna bring back fruits and everything, just, you know, because it's just the reciprocity? I don't know how to say that, my bad.
But, girl, it's okay, me too.
Yeah.
It's morning. We're all together. How do you say that?
That's a tier three word that I cannot remember.
It's morning. Okay.
Most definitely, it's like, it's brushed off a lot that it's like, you know, it's a guilt trip, you know, it's like, really, you're making a big deal out of it, out of nothing.
It is.
Yeah. Any last words or messages
for
the crowds?
I have.
They might be listening to us or not.
I know, right?
There's two locations for East LA Women's Center. Because I keep shouting them out, because we're, like, Montebello, East LA, borderline. So I want to just shout out their main office. It's it's 1431 South Atlantic Boulevard, Los Angeles, and the zip code is 90022. Their number is 323-526-5819. And they also have a wellness center at the historic General Hospital, which is LAC and USC. Los Angeles, California, 90033. And their number is 213-481-6030.
I know if you're, like, an LGBTQ youth, you can always call the Trevor hotline. I don't know the number to that one, but just go on Trevor. Look up Trevor on Google, and it'll be there for you.
Yeah.
And just to reiterate what Ashley said, you know, or the message across you, is that you don't owe anybody your story. You should be comfortable to speak up whenever you want to or you don't want to. You know, that's your experience. And you're allowed to set boundaries and not have to be afraid to do so.
Exactly.
Even though it is scary, you know, especially when a lot of these, like, workplaces are so male dominated. We're here for you.
My advice is to find community wherever you go.
Yeah, that's important.
At least one person that you're able to just, like, even if you can't, like, you know, bare your soul, at least that person that's gonna be like, hey, are you okay, friend? And, like, I hope you're doing well. And, you know, that's gonna show you love. And find that also within yourself. Like, you know, get to know yourself. Do, you know, find out hobbies you like, so that whenever stress or things happen, that you're able to find something out of it.
Yeah. And if you've had an experience, whatever this experience might have been, you deserve to heal in whatever form. Exactly. There's no rush to healing. It's scary. It's painful a lot of the times, but you'll get through it, even if you don't believe that at the moment. Nashi, any last words?
I think just everything that you guys said, but also just, I think just, again, just making sure that you be in tune with yourself and know when it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
And this also goes for people that, like, are in relationships with other people that, like, you know what I mean? Don't be forced to do things because of your own will, because of your significant other. Like, always know when to say no. Mm-hmm. And if they don't respect that, then they can get the fuck out of your life because you don't deserve that shit. So please make sure you exercise that right.
And practice phrases that you're able to establish boundaries. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're not comfortable with something, say absolutely not, or you know what, this isn't going to work with for me, and not having to feel like you have to explain everything, because I feel like we, like, as women, we always have to feel like we have to explain why we're saying no. And then when we're saying yes, it's like, okay, it's all handy dandy and awesome.
Don't ask you.
That's true.
But yeah,
all right, well, thank you for this episode. See you guys soon.